This is Maria Buyukos.
And this is Zachary Richard Hill.
And you're listening to Creative Honey. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Creative Honey. Today we're going to be talking about time. We never feel like we can get enough time, and time just seems like it dictates so much in our lives, especially when it comes to doing creative work for pay. And we're going to talk about how time is really subjective and how you might be cheating yourself with time as opposed to skill as the main focus for how you charge your clients, and the different ways you can actually implement that work better than, let's say, an hourly rate. I know that's something that a lot of creative professionals kind of try to figure out is, you know, is it better to do an hourly rate or a package price or per project price? And today we're going to discuss a little more of that. So we're going to go ahead and dive right in. Stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Creative Honey. It's Maria and Zach here.
Hello again, everybody.
That was very smooth, Zach.
Well, I am trying to slow down the way I speak when we record podcasts. I know this is basically a rebirth of Creative Honey, and I want to use this as an opportunity to really modify the way I speak in general, but definitely for this podcast.
I dig it. Awesome. Well, we've got a really cool topic today. The influence of time on your creative practice.
Yes, or, you know, another way of thinking about that is, how do you value time and effort when it comes to creativity in general? But since we are both designers, you know, as a trade, I guess we're going to focus mostly on design, right?
This is true. We do tend to talk about design a lot.
But, you know, this is called Creative Honey for a reason. I think this can definitely apply to many creative fields. Because I think in general, one of the main things that kind of holds up clients, artists, and creatives in general is the idea of how time relates with creative work.
Yeah, this idea can hang people up sometimes. An example that we like to refer to sometimes is Paula Scher, you know, sometimes says like she can just like whip out a design on a napkin in like 5 minutes and it's a golden idea.
Well, for the non-designers that listen to the podcast, tell us a little bit about Paula Scher, Maria. Yes.
Paula Scher is one of the longtime partners at Pentagram, which is one of the most renowned design studios in the world. They're international, and they've produced some of the most well-known and beloved brands you see today.
Well, not to sidetrack too much, but there's been some debate on that as of late.
This is true.
And actually kind of relates back to time.
Yeah.
And ironically, you brought up Paula Scher, last couple of her logos has been harshly criticized by the design community, and I kind of scouring through social media, I found it ironic that designers were kind of saying the same things that patrons would say when looking at art, and I think designers should know better, because I was looking at reading what designers were writing. Oh, I could have done that, or that didn't take that long, or anyone could do that. It's like, wow, what? That just kind of defeats the purpose. And I know we've talked about this before, and I don't want to get too much in a tangent on this, but this whole idea of judging design work based, especially design work. Now, art could be different, but judging design work based on solely aesthetic execution is just the wrong way to do it. And I'm just going to put my flag in the ground when it comes to that.
Yeah, this could be an entirely other episode, which we probably end up doing.
Yeah, that's my fault, and let's get back on track.
No, that's okay. I think it was good to say that because, sometimes famous designers, even like Paula Scher, do have ideas that they've said that are produced in mere minutes. It's like a stroke of genius or a moment of inspiration, but in school and even in like, furthering your education through workshops and taking, courses after you graduate, a lot of times, process and taking the time to do the process is stressed. And I think it's great, but there's also sometimes a flip side to that. Right, Zach?
Yeah, there's definitely a flip side. I would like to, when you're going through school, there is this, emphasis on time, the kind of cliche all-nighters, especially for the more rigorous, creative schools out there. But even for state schools, you might experience that. And there's just a general emphasis, I think, in the creative culture that it's all about hustle, hustle, hustle. And I definitely subscribe to that, as Maria would definitely attest to. I definitely put in the time, and I know Maria does too. But that being said, it's just, what about working more efficiently? Kind of the whole cliche, work harder, not smarter. But I'd like to pivot this conversation a little bit, if that's okay with you, Maria.
Let's do it.
Fantastic. So I'm thinking about time in relation to, or how it relates to, the relationship between designers or creatives and their clients. I feel that's a big hang-up, and I feel that's kind of a factor that kind of impedes or affects the client-creative relationship, in the sense that usually both parties are really focused on the hours put in. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're charging hourly rate. Actually, that kind of dives into a whole other subtopic about hourly rates and the pitfalls with that. But let's say you were just grooving and you produced something you thought was going to take 20 hours. Maybe you produced it in half the time, but now you were charging hourly. And the client either expects it to be done in that later amount of time, or it's done earlier. And in some cases, it may take more time, and then the client may be upset about increasing the time.
Well, yeah, the biggest mistake I think both creatives and clients make is that they think they're bartering time. Mm-hmm. That's a very common misconception, especially for newer creatives, but also newer clients, because I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of experienced clients and understand that that's not what they're bartering for. But beginner clients think they're charging for time. And the reason why I emphasize that is because this is another side topic, but clients are not bad people. They're not the enemy. It's just that some are more experienced than others. And it's up to us as the creative professionals to educate them on the process. So, yeah, we, in my agency, we definitely just do value-based pricing. But that's just as much as valuable for the client as it is for us. I mean, we obviously, get the value out of that, but it also makes more sense for the client as well. They're going to get maximum value if time is kind of taken out of the equation.
Right. And taking time out of the equation, like going for more value-based pricing and, per job pricing, allows there to be a more relaxed creative approach. Meaning, like, when you're stressed out about time, you're not always going to do your best work. And also the other thing is that it takes the stress off the client as well, because now they're not like, oh, this is going over time and you're not producing. And it just lets the process happen. And then you can even still have stipulations about going over, more so in the lines of like revisions and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the best way to go about it. I've been in situations where both, exactly right, both parties were just totally stressing out about hours. It's like, oh, you know, we're almost at hours, we're way under hours, or we're way over hours, you know. And if you take time out of the equation, if you think about it, it actually frees up the designer to deliver maximum value, because I'm sure there's been many designers or creatives that once they hit the 40-hour mark, they've like, okay, this is all I got. If you want me to keep going on this, I have to charge you more, right? So yeah. To me, you know, when time is irrelevant or not a factor, it actually allows the designer to do the best work.
And it also allows there to be a better relationship between the client and the creative. You know, the thing is that theoretically, yeah, if you're doing like per project pricing, it could take you 3 hours or it could take you 30 hours, but the price stays the same.
And the point is, it doesn't matter
exactly
anymore. And it shouldn't. And kind of to pivot back to how this affects the design community when it's, you know, no longer, you know, taking the client out of the equation now, and it's like designers critiquing designers. Why do you think time kind of comes up when we're critiquing designers?
Yeah, I think there's like a expectation about, oh, well, that didn't take enough time. Like, there has to be, like, what even is time? Time is like relative in so many ways and always, basically. So when you're critiquing a design based on the time it took rather than the actual work, you're kind of missing the whole, like, the actual process. And it differs from person to person, and sometimes it takes longer than other times, but that shouldn't be like the defining factor in if a project is actually good work.
No, yeah, I agree. The first thing I think, it's funny to me, the first two things I see get critiqued the most are probably the last two things that should get critiqued when designers are observing a piece, which is how long did it take and how good does it look? Do I like it? And it looks like it took a long time.
So many subjective things in that sentence.
Right. Yeah. And usually we don't understand the context that is required. For example, you know, some people don't even connect that maybe the research and the strategy and the meetings are actually part of that whole process. They're only counting the execution time, because there is a mentality in the creative community, a certain section of the creative community that really focuses more on the execution than anything else. Because for one, they're really good at it, and I definitely acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. You know, so obviously the ones that feel really strong about executing are going to focus on that first. But then there's creatives that feel maybe they're better at the ideation or the concept than the execution. And obviously there's a lot of great designers that are just really good at both. But either way, I think it's really important to judge the concept, and judge how it communicates the intended content, you know, of the piece, or of the business, I should say. That's just a couple things that should come before how good is it looking, how long did it take?
Yeah, and you know, if you can just suspend your judgments based on your preferences, it creates a better, more quality dialogue within the creative community.
I agree, and that's hard. I know I struggle with that. I prefer, for example, aesthetically, I'm really attracted or drawn to minimalism, you know, shape-driven design. So there's some really intricate illustrations or pieces of design where I'm just, nah, it's not for me. But then if I see like a couple circles on top of each other with some time next to it, I'm like, yeah, like the MasterCard logo. I'm like, yes, genius. And other people hate it.
Well, it's the same. Okay, so for example, on my pizza, I love cheese. Zach is not a big fan of cheese.
Cheese should be illegal.
See, and that's a different. I think cheese is the nectar of the gods.
It's probably the most controversial thing I've said tonight.
Almost everyone gives him crap about not liking cheese, right? So when we order pizza, he orders little to no cheese on his pizza.
I order enough cheese to just basically keep the ingredients all on the pizza. I let it act as a glue.
Yeah.
The point is, kids, don't eat cheese.
I would beg to differ, which is why I brought this up, because I order extra cheese on my pizza, but does it make Zach's choice or my choice wrong or better?
Well, I don't think so.
Right? It's pizza and just different tastes.
Totally. And I think what we're trying to get at as we wrap up here, because I think we're trying to microtize. That's a new word. Maybe. Our podcast is try to eliminate the subjectivity of design critiques. I don't think it should go away. As much as we've been bashing things should look good. There's value to that, obviously, but balance it out with what's it for, what's its purpose, what is it communicating, what context is it in. One thing that should definitely be taken out is time. So I think we covered this pretty good. I think we covered the time thing. We kind of went around on different topics and ended up on cheese pizza. So I think we got this down.
I think it's more, this podcast should be called Time and Subjectivity.
And Pizza.
And Pizza. Because I just want to say one example before we kind of wrap this up.
Sure.
Now, it varies when I do branding for like clients, but when I'm doing branding and identity for my own projects, I've had logo take literally 20 minutes, or like a visual identity, or I've had one take literally a year. So, but if you were to see them, you would never know which one was which.
Well, yeah, I think that's one of the main points we've been getting at, right? That let's leave this episode with kind of like a lesson.
Yeah, there we go.
Don't worry about how long something took to make. That's not important. I think it's important to work really hard and put in the time to be great at what you do, but it doesn't always mean individual pieces need to be executed with a lot of time. So that's my go away. The more you know moment.
Yeah, and I would say I obviously completely feel congruent with that. But also, when just to build better communities, you know, discuss, get a little more intellectual about it. You know, you can discuss philosophies and concept, but like just sheerly execution and the time it took and judging things based on that is kind of eliminating the opportunity to have discussions that can make everyone better at what they do. So that would be my like kind of little words of, I guess, wisdom.
Yeah.
To wrap this up. But yeah, get out there and give it a try. Next time you're on that Facebook, that design Facebook group or Instagram or whatever, and you feel like critiquing something, maybe try that and try the things we suggested and see how that goes for you.
Don't be a dribble troll.
Don't do it.
All right.
And don't do drugs.
That too.
Actually, that's subjective too.
You're right. It's a good way to end the episode.
I know.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We're going to be doing little mini episodes like this, bringing in some guests, making some magic happen again, and hopefully more consistent this time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. And thanks for listening. That was stupid. Thanks so much for listening to another episode, guys. We appreciate you sticking with us even through our super long hiatus. We got married and moved, so our time was pretty tight, so we had to take a break, but we're back and excited to be bringing you more content. We hope that you continue to follow us on Instagram at Creative Honey, on social media like Facebook as well, which is under Creative Honey Media, on Twitter, and we're going to be posting other materials like book suggestions and eventually artist spotlights, as well as other helpful little tidbits on those forms of media. So stick with us and stay tuned for another episode coming soon. If you guys have any recommendations for future episodes, please definitely send us an email at hello@creativehoney.org, or you can just message us on any of those platforms we mentioned just a second ago. I hope you all have an awesome week, and thanks for listening.